You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to participate in this call-in show, please feel free to do so. The number here is 608-501-0718. If you are a new caller, you get the privilege of going directly to the front of the line. We do not have any new callers as of right now. So we're just going to pick this thing up where we left off and do the thing.
Hey, it's Nate. Calling in because you guys are talking about me like I would be funny and angry drunk. Well, you know what? For your information, I'm actually a very pleasant drunk. Actually, I'm probably meaner when I'm sober than when I am drunk.
I get that.
The only exception.
To be fair, for most of my life, that was me, with the exception again of the whiskey thing. But yeah, I would say that was largely me as well.
Because you had kind of mentioned everybody's got that one alcohol.
Yeah.
I do have an exception, and that's moonshine.
There it is.
Luckily, well, moonshine is pretty easy to
avoid. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll fight a stop sign just for trying to tell me what to do when I'm drinking moonshine.
I wonder if anybody is not angry on moonshine. Are there people that are just like, I don't know. I feel like that is the ultimate, you know, like that drink. But I don't know. I never had it.
But, The only time that it's really hard to resist moonshine is when somebody brings like homemade apple pie.
Oh yeah, oof,
that's just you can't say no. You can't say no to homemade apple pie. Who says that,
dude?
And if you don't know what apple pie is drink wise, then you obviously don't live in Wisconsin and you're a loser. Go pack out.
That is the most dangerous drink in the world, and I'm not kidding you, because that stuff is loaded with alcohols, and I believe the way that I had it made in the past, and I think this is the proper way to make it, is with Everclear. And the dangerous thing about apple pie is you try a drink of it, and it just goes down so smooth. Like, it's the sweetest, most delicious drink you'll ever have in your life. I mean, it really does just taste like warm apple pie. And you will throw back like a giant cup of this thing, and you'll end up laid out very quickly. I remember the first time, and I was told this up front, like, be careful. And it's just like cup after cup, like, dude, give me another one. You better be careful. People say that about like Long Island iced teas or whatever, because they, you know, it's kind of like that, but it's way more delicious, way more deadly.
Hey, it's Nate calling in again. Wanted to give you a couple movie recommendations.
All right, let's do this.
I don't know if you usually watch too many of the Oscar winning movies every year.
The old Oscar movies. Back in the day when Oscar movies were good movies. I sound like such a curmudgeon, but there is like a line. Like, if you look at the Oscar movies prior to like this point, it's like, dude, every single one of these movies is awesome. And then after that, it's just like, those movies all suck. They're stupid. Like, four people watched them. I don't know. But yeah, let's do it. Maybe I'm wrong.
But I watched that movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. And everything I loved it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It's like a multiverse, like sci-fi movie.
Sweet.
So if that's not your thing, maybe
that's my thing, for sure.
If you like the sci-fi sort of stuff, it is great. It does switch between English and like Cantonese, / Mandarin, you know, Chinese languages. So you got to be okay with reading subtitles occasionally. But again, it flips back and forth, so it's not like all in Chinese or anything. And then the other one that I just watched last night was Fall. I watched it on Stars. I don't know if you can get it anywhere else, but that was a movie that apparently one of the big draws that gained it some fandom was that it's a movie that actually scared Stephen King. And after watching it, I gotta agree, my nerves were shredded after that movie. It's like a climbing movie sort of thing, but it's like a horror thriller.
Really?
So yeah, check those two movies out if that's the kind of thing that you're into. Go Petco.
Huh. Yeah, because I've watched like YouTube videos of people doing this kind of stuff where they're climbing I can just see like the cover of it where there's that massive like radio tower or whatever that thing is. And I've seen actual YouTube videos of people doing that stuff. And it just makes me so angry because it like you said, it kills my nerves. So adding like a horror element to something that shoots your nerves to begin with, that's kind of a cool concept. Yeah, I see it's on Stars. It says it's on Vudu. I got Vudu. Rent to buy, but whatever. I could throw a couple bucks at a recommendation, I guess. These are all new, so I'm guessing I'm going to have to pay for like all of them or something. I don't know. Oh, dang. I'm just watching like a thing there. So is it... Sorry, I should be talking instead of just watching this video. Is it actually like scary stuff happens? Or are they just stuck on this thing the whole time? Seems like it's kind of like they're just stuck on this thing this whole time. Which, what was that movie? I never saw it, but there have been a couple movies where it's like, there was one where the whole movie was like somebody in like a telephone booth. I think they were like, if they come out, they die or something. I don't really remember what it was, but like that was the whole movie was shot in like a telephone booth. And then you got ones where it's like the whole movie's on like a, you know, stranded out at sea or something. Is that like the whole movie where they're just stuck on this tower and then sometimes they fall off and they have to climb back up and that happens like 10 times? Because I'm not going to lie, that would tick me off if I spent 2 hours watching people sit on top of a tower. But, you know, Stephen King, if he got freaked out by it, I guess that's a solid endorsement. Unless he was being polite or something, I don't know. Did his niece direct it? Just wondering, maybe he's just being a good uncle or something. But if that's not what it is, as far as like the free jumping, but also like horror, I can't tell if that would be really stupid or really kind of good. Because a lot of times when they add in like the elements, then it just kind of gets to be cheesy. It would probably be cheesy. No, that'd be stupid. But yeah, it's intriguing. Hopefully they're not just sitting up there the whole time.
Hey, Ryan, it's Brian from Connecticut. How
hey,
you doing?
Good.
Wanted
Thanks.
To get your opinion on what do the Packers have to do this season, which may be a long shot, but to accurately assess Jordan Love. And what I mean by that is if our wide receiver room is Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Maurice Touré, Josiah DeGuara, the current running backs, like, is that giving Jordan Love a fair assessment? What do we have to add so that the coaching staff and GM can say, yeah, we did enough around you to say you are really good or you are not the future of the Packers. Now, obviously, if he balls out with anybody, then that's a great sign. But let's just assume or not assume. Let's be pessimistic for a second and say he struggled this year. How much of that is to blame on a second-year receiving corps, no tight ends, blah, 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 blah. So what's the minimum do you think the Packers have to do around Jordan to make sure it's a fair assessment this year? Also knowing it's probably a two-year tryout, but wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thanks, Ryan. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially for the coaches, I mean, I think we can kind of do it, although there's a lot of nuance that we don't understand, but I think you can evaluate the quarterback on his own merits. Right? I mean, if he throws the ball and the receiver drops it, you know, yeah, the stats will say one thing, but it doesn't matter because we understand that that was the receiver's fault. You know, that beautiful back shoulder throw to Aaron Jones that he dropped. The stat sheet says it was a bad throw. Every single human being watched that, their jaw hit the floor and said, holy crap, that was a good throw. Now, it's going to be a little bit tougher to evaluate. I think one of the negatives is, can some of the, you know, because you talk about, for example, under pressure versus not under pressure. And you can isolate sort of that not under pressure and say, okay, here is sort of the baseline. But there is an element of, if he's constantly under pressure, is that affecting him? Is he becoming afraid? You know, even with Aaron Rodgers, you talk about the lack of trust in his wide receivers and how that might cause him to maybe not pull the trigger. But I think at the end of the day, you got to trust the quarterback's going to be able to do what he's got to do. You know, if he's hearing footsteps or whatever, I mean, that's still not a good thing. You're going to get hit every single game that you play. Hopefully not so much that you become, you get like legit PTSD symptoms or something. But, you know, even when you go back and look at Rodgers and say, well, how much of it was his fault compared to the receiver's fault compared to Matt LaFleur's fault? Well, I can't answer that 100%. But we can see the times when guys are running open and he's looking at them and doesn't throw it. We can see the time guys are running open and he force feeds it to somebody else that you know, he trusts, like Lazard. So you can see those kinds of things and say that that was not the right decision. And, you know, again, you get the quarterback gurus that will come in and defend Rodgers no matter what he does. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, maybe the route tree something or another. I don't know. But in my opinion, that just means there's something wrong with the process. If we've got three guys running routes and two of them are open and you throw to the guy that's not open, and apparently because of play design, he was supposed to throw to the guy that's not open and ignore the two guys that are open, then this play is broken and stupid. There's a bigger problem than decision-making here with this offense. This is the dumbest offense in existence. You know, and then it kind of comes down to like the nuance of, well, maybe the receiver running the wrong angle or this or that or whatever. But again, you can kind of see it. And you can see when Rodgers played well. I mean, go back to some of those games where Rodgers was playing on fire. I thought, what was it, like the second half of the Miami game or something like that, where I had said that was one of the best, that was by far the best Rodgers had been all season. But it was one of the best like halves of a game that I've seen from Rodgers almost like ever. I mean, that was like peak. I mean, you're talking like peak 2020, 2011. Like when you see Rodgers in his prime, like there was a glimmer of that. So then when you see that and you see these ridiculous off his back foot throws pinpoint down the sideline, it's like, so, okay, so now let's go back and tell me about how, you know, pressure and guys not getting open or running the right, like how that is the problem with this offense. Because Aaron Rodgers that I know, these are not problems. You know, that one throw that has been all over Twitter recently about something about, oh yeah, tell me he's washed. And it was a throw, I think, but it was to Mercedes Lewis. You're going to tell me that we don't have good enough wide receivers, and his biggest highlight of the season is to a guy that, if he were to run a 40 today, would run like a 5.2? Come on, man. Let's not make stupid excuses here. We know what a really good quarterback looks like. We know what a not super great quarterback looks like. And so I think in terms of evaluation, you got to understand there's going to be issues. He's not going to come out and be the best quarterback we've ever seen, right? It's, you know, Joe Burrow is just tops. But he wasn't, I mean, granted, his season got cut short his rookie year, but he didn't just first snap of the season like, dang, this dude might be the best quarterback in football. It took a little bit of time. Not a ton, but a little bit. You know, so I think the biggest thing is going to be when we see those things that you look at and go, oh yeah, he's definitely not Rodgers. The question is this just who he is, or is there going to be a progression? That's what, you know, the Packers and Rodgers and that always talked about with, like, the receivers, for example. Making mistakes isn't a problem. It's not making those mistakes anymore. And so, as I've said before, my biggest concern with Jordan Love is going to be consistency. I mean, that's true of every quarterback, but that's always been my specific concern with him. When I watched him in college, that was my biggest concern, was consistency. Seeing him in the preseason, when, you know, you look at it and say, there's clearly he got better, that's true, but consistency was still an issue. You know, I mean, he looked really, really good until he suddenly didn't. You know, one game he looks great, the next game he looks kind of okay, the next game, you know, it's like half of it he looks great, and then half of it... There needs to be more consistency. And if that's just who he is a guy that looks great sometimes but is inconsistent, he's never going to be great. Because, yeah, everybody has bad days. But it's one thing to have like one or two kind of rough games, and it's a complete other thing to say that 50% of the time when you play... you're great, and 50% of the time you're not. And whether that culminates into, you know, half the season you look great and half the season you look terrible, or if it happens so much in a game that it just kind of balances out to you being a subpar quarterback or borderline bad quarterback, then you're just a bad quarterback. And we can choose to be Packer fans that act like Bears fans who stitch together all the great highlights and say, oh yeah, you think he's bad, look at this. But I'm not going to be that guy. Because again, if you want to be a great football player, the only thing that matters is the consistency. I'll take a consistently decent player over a guy that's great half the time and garbage the other half. I mean, that's the whole thing with like Anthony Richardson. And people are saying he's not even a real quarterback. That's what we read in the scouting report. He's not a quarterback. Like he's just terrible. Everybody has seen his great throws. Those don't cancel out the reality that when 50% of the time you're like elite and 50% of the time you're trash, you're just, I'm sorry, you're not an NFL football player. You can't do that. That's why highlights are so stupid. Highlights are a handful of plays. You threw, what, 600, 700 passes? And somebody can stitch together a highlight reel of 15 of your best passes, and I'm supposed to be impressed? That was Dan Orlovsky on Twitter earlier today. He said, people are telling me Anthony Richardson, which, by the way, this is why these like actual pro quarterbacks and the whole thing where you can't disagree with them because they would know better than you, this is the dumbest thing ever. People are telling me Anthony Richardson has accuracy issues. Oh, really? Look at this pass. Great pass, but it was dropped. That's why. Really? One good pass that was dropped and I'm supposed to just completely disregard every bit of information that I know about the guy? And here's the other thing. It's easy to look it up. And so I took 5 seconds and looked it up. And it's way worse than I thought. I didn't even realize this. Out of 47 quarterbacks, when you go to PFF and just sort it by quarterbacks in this draft class, there's 47 of them, according to PFF. He ranks 45th in accuracy. When you look at adjusted completion percentage, taking away the drops and throwaways and everything else, he drops to 46th out of 47. It gets even worse. So again, don't show me highlights. Don't show me that one pinpoint pass. Because you know what? There isn't a single quarterback in this draft class. There's not a single quarterback in the NFL. I'm talking third string quarterbacks. If they've thrown passes, you know, if they've thrown 100, 200, 300, 400, could you imagine? You know how many thousands of throws have been made by NFL quarterbacks if they're throwing even 500 a year? How many has Rodgers thrown? How many is, I mean, the Bears don't even throw the football and he's only played a couple years. He's probably thrown 1,000 times. So yeah, you get Bears fans stitching together, that was one of their favorite, oh really, somebody put together a 20-minute highlight. Okay, well, a lot of that is running, first of all, but even that, it doesn't, can you imagine if somebody made a highlight reel for Aaron Rodgers, and it was literally every single good pass of his? It would be like a 5-hour thing. It would never end. So anyways, I'm way off the rails here, but that's, that bottom line is, that's my biggest thing. That's my biggest thing with most players. That's definitely my biggest thing with quarterbacks. I mentioned it 1,000 times, but I don't think Trubisky was a bad quarterback. I thought he had some of the best downfield throws. Even Justin Fields, which is why he reminds me of a mobile Trubisky or a more mobile Trubisky. Bears fans are right. He has some beautiful throws down the sideline. So did Trubisky. And so does Jordan Love. The question has always been, and for all three of those guys, it's going to come down to consistency. Trubisky didn't have it. For every great pass down the sideline, he had too many really bad decisions, and then he ended up not being the quarterback. Justin Fields, same thing. For every great throw, there's him, you know, drilling his offensive lineman on the side of the head with the ball, or just throwing this ridiculous throw, or just not knowing where to go, or whatever. Same with Justin Jordan Love. I like what I've seen, and that Eagles game was borderline flawless, that's for sure. But preseason, the inconsistency worries me a little bit. And that's going to be the test. I know he can be a great quarterback. I know Justin Fields can be a great quarterback. I know Trubisky can be a great quarterback, but only if they show more consistency. And for two of those guys, we haven't seen it. We got to see if we can see it from Jordan.
Hey, caller number 5 here.
Hey.
I know everybody loves JSN.
Yep.
JSN. That's all I ever see. And that's great. He's great. And I would be very happy if they took him at 15. That's fine by me. I'd be happy with him. I'd be happy with one of those monster tackles if they fall there. I'd be happy with Nolan Smith if he was there. Or you know, I don't know if I'd be happy with LVM, but whatever. A lot of people seem to like him. But I don't know if you've seen tape yet on the wide receivers, but Quentin Johnston. Oh, man. I'm just going to say you should watch some Quentin Johnston and let me know how you feel. I know there's some concerns about his drops and some concern about finishing on contested catches, but just go watch some film on the dude. He might be my favorite wide receiver in this draft. I'm just imagining him and Christian Watson on the same field.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, it would be nice. But anyway, like I said, I'd be happy with JSN. But why don't you check out Quinn? Check out QJ real quick. All right, that's all. Bye-bye.
So it's kind of funny because, and I don't remember when or why this was, but when I first started doing all the draft stuff, I really just didn't like anybody. And he was one of the first guys I watched because he was considered the top wide receiver in the class. And as we went through the scouting, not the scouting reports, but what the scouts had to say, according to Bob McGinn, a lot of guys still think he is the top. Not everybody, but to many scouts, and I'm sure many teams, he's the top of their board. But the first time I watched him, I really was not super impressed. And I think it's because, in my mind, I remember last year's class, and I immediately go to the top guys there, and how many of them just really kind of blow your mind and say, yeah, that's a talented guy for this reason and that reason, whatever. And I didn't really see that from this year. But I think a little bit later on, this would have been a couple weeks ago or whatever, I was watching him, and it just, something just felt different to me. I just started to see it. I just started to kind of, there's that moment where it's like, oh, that's the thing right there. And I think that's the biggest thing for me is like, what's different about you? And I started to notice those things, like him off the line, how smooth he is, how fast he is. I think the biggest issue when I try to compare, like the one guy that kind of comes to mind for some reason, I don't really know why, is DeAndre Hopkins. But the thing with DeAndre Hopkins is the biggest difference is sort of that natural catching ability. And that's an important piece for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, when you think of like the tall, long, smooth strider, you know, fast off the line, big physical type of guy, it just kind of fits in my mind. But that's, I mean, again, that's a big piece. But I do think that's kind of, I don't want to say it's missing, because I think that's kind of what we are supposed to have in Romeo Doubs. And so if you're just trying to get the three guys, the two outside guys and the slot guy, obviously JSN makes the most sense. I don't know if we're going to put Doubs in the slot or if we're just going to drop one of the guys, you know, let Doubs sit and put Samori Toure in the slot, or how that's all going to work out. Maybe that's what we get as a veteran slot, if that's even available, just because that kind of will fulfill that, kind of like Randall or whatever, but then you also get your veteran guy and it's not a necessarily premier position, the slot guys, if you're just a slot. But I know the last time I watched him, I really started to like him. Not love him. I don't think I love any of the guys, although I think what you sometimes can fall in love with is sort of the hype and some of the evaluations. Even though I can't see it, when you hear people describe him and you take on and think about like what this description would be like on your team as opposed to what I'm actually watching, I think that's the biggest thing with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I like him, and I see that he's doing good things, but it's not as evident why he's doing it, right? I think it's more nuanced. You know, for example, he'll run a route and get open. And it's like, well, anybody could do that. But at the same time, if you look at his ability to get away from somebody, it's not so much that it was a ridiculously sharp cut like these tiny slot guys that I tend to love because they're super quick and shifty, and you can just see, you know, this ankle breaking ability to get away from guys. But I think he's more of an intelligent route runner. You know, when you wait until they plant on this foot and then you cut because then their balance is off. You know, it's like little stuff like that that makes it look like he didn't do anything special in terms of that cut. So, I mean, how could anybody not do that? And it's just he's a more nuanced route runner that understands angles and leverage, and not that kind of leverage, the other kind of leverage, and getting at the right depth and timing and to get himself open, which is not a trait that you can just watch. It's harder to identify than just straight line speed or, again, these hard cuts. But when people describe Jaxon Smith-Njigba and you think about that on your team, or they describe Quentin Johnston and then you put that on your team, that's when you can get kind of excited. But as far as seeing it, yeah, I can kind of start to see it with him, but there's still that final piece for him that makes it really hard to say, you know, that's what I want to do at 15. But yeah, I'll go back. In fact, I paused it and went back and watched him against Oklahoma State. I will say I'm not a highlight of his play-by-play. I the more I watch him, the more I'm really starting to like him. The one thing I always like about wide receivers, obviously I have that affinity for the smaller, shifty guys, and those guys never translate, so I'm trying to get away from that. It feels like it should. If you're that good of a route runner, how can you not get away from guys, but whatever. But the other attribute I really like, and it's, I don't know if it's super definable, but it's guys that make it look easy. You know, it's sort of like when your big brother comes to play football with you and your friends, and it's just not fair. He kind of has that. And I don't know that I've really seen that from any of the other wide receivers that I've watched. Not Addison, not Njigba, not Hyatt. He's just got that big physical, you know, there's no panic. I'm not running away from guys, not that sort of Jerry Rice, like I'm running for my life from everybody thing. Not, you know, knocking Jerry Rice. I'm just saying that. That's what my mind went to because he always said he used to do that. It doesn't seem like a battle. You know, like I just watched him catch a screen pass and it just looked so calm. He caught it, just kind of started going. You know, he's bigger and stronger than people, so he kind of broke a tackle and then just laid a guy out searching for contact. I mean, it wildly unnecessary, like stiff arm to the throat to try to get that extra yard to get a first down. But I like how he moves. He seems real smooth. You know, not these over-exaggerated cuts to try to get open, just real smooth. He exudes number one guy. I think last year for me, that guy was George Pickens. Not saying they're the same, but that was my description of George Pickens and why I really liked him, is he just had that sort of I'm the dude mentality. Pickens was a little bit more physical, but honestly, Quentin Johnston, what I just saw him do, just punch a guy in the throat in an attempt to stiff arm somebody, it's kind of similar. Now, I don't think his catching ability is as good as Pickens, but if I had to compare him to anybody in last year's class, it would definitely be Pickens. And Pickens was my favorite guy in the entire class, I think, last year, even including the guys that went earlier. And I tell you what, he really does glide, man. I mean, he's got those long legs, and usually those long leg guys don't look like they're really moving very fast, and they're kind of like the Jordy Nelson build-up speed thing. He really glides down the field, but I swear he goes 0 to 60 pretty quick. Like, he's moving fast, early. Yeah, it's a game against Oklahoma State, and he just, I'm describing it to it, but throw up, toss-up ball to him. Not a great throw. He was wide open, got way behind the guy, but ended up with two defenders there. He just went up and got it above both of them. Yeah, this might be the dude for me. I don't know. Sorry to all the JSN people. He might be the better pick. He probably is the better pick, but just in terms, you know, again, one of the biggest things, it might not even be better football player necessarily, but just the fact that this guy is sort of that number one. You know, JSN is he's a slot guy. I don't know if he's going to live on the boundary. Maybe he can, but that's a downgrade. Teams are going to knock you for that. Usually, like, the top slot guys go in the second round, even, like, elite slot guys. Not saying he's going in the second round. I mean, you know, it's a massive compliment to go mid or late first as a slot guy. But, you know, how many guys are those true sort of, you know, again, Devontae's or the just those number one guys on the outside? There really aren't any in this class. And then when you look at how weak the free agency class was, you know, any teams that are hurting for that, there's going to be a big push, I think, for guys like Quentin Johnston. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But he has that attribute, and I don't think very many people do in this draft class. Good receivers, sure, but true number ones? Yeah, I just, man, maybe it's just he had a really good game against Oklahoma State, but this is really impressive. I don't know why I didn't like him all that much. I think when I come into the draft class, I just have too high expectations of everybody. I watched Michael Mayer, and I'm like, meh. Last year, I watched Bijan Robinson, you know, like 360 days ago or something, when I was just getting a peek at next year's class, and they're like, dude, this Bijan guy is a legit top 10. Bijan legit? It's a legit top 10 prospect. I'm like, come on. And I watched him like, I don't know, I don't get it. And now I watch him like, what didn't you get, stupid? What is wrong with you? That's why I'm not a scout, though, man. I just watch stuff and get feelings. And now my feelings are very different about Quentin Johnston, which is why I need to go back and rerun through everybody, because I'll probably have a lot of different feelings about a lot of different guys. That's what I should do. We're about a month away. I need to start having official feelings about these guys. Just put a useless big board together that nobody cares about. That's what I need. Actually, funny enough, just before your call, my son barged in here, and he was telling me we need to get to work on figuring out what guys we like for the draft, because we did that last year. He loved it. He got mad at me when I told him the draft is a month away. He's like, well, we're not going to have time to do it then. But yeah, he loved that process, and he was the one that identified Christian Watson. That was his top guy in the draft. So Cullen's predictions are who he likes. It's a big deal, man. Mine are secondary. It doesn't matter who I like. I'm an idiot. I always get it wrong. He's 1-0. So we'll see. We'll to be determined on that. But yeah, I do see it with him for sure. And I could definitely see a team getting excited about him. Tell you what, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break? Patreon.com/pack_daddy is a way to support me. Also, Packernet Podcast on Venmo, if you'd rather do that. Fertile Ground Ranch Discipleship Ministry. You can find them at fertilegroundranch.org. I would encourage you to check that out. Trying desperately to do something cool with their website, but I'm stupid with all this stuff, and I'm wasting a lot of time. But it'll be cool if we can get it up and running. Also, I'm not sure if this is a listener, but Peter Lopez, if you are listening and you did donate to the cause, very greatly appreciate that donation. I get text messages from my dad like, do you know this guy? He gave money, and I'm guessing you know him. Like, yeah, I'm not sure, maybe. I think he thinks I have like 10 listeners and they're all my friend. He doesn't know because he doesn't listen to my podcast. He doesn't care. I'm just kidding, he cares. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike. So, hey. Listening to Packing It After Dark tonight, and what's tonight? Monday night? So, the guy who called in, he doesn't want to look at, you know, guys before the draft because he doesn't really care unless they're on the Packers. I know, Ryan, you're probably going to turn around and do some draft day primers and whatnot, and we're going to get an idea of a lot of the available picks out there, and some of the later round guys and whatnot, and who all teams are going to be looking at. But here's the deal. If you're not looking at the guys who are going to get drafted and you're not trying to see who's good and whatnot, then it's going to be real difficult when you go to any kind of football party and try to talk any kind of ish. I'm just saying, right? Maybe you'll go back and watch over the season, but it's really good idea to know, like, who are the sleepers in the draft and who are, like, the top guys. At least, like, look up the highlights. Man, and then you get a little bit of football in the offseason. You don't have to be like, oh, it's so dead. Because, bro, it's not. You just don't want to put the work in. And trust me, it's fun. If you ain't got nothing else going on, it's fun. I'd rather be sitting in my office, chilling out, you know, watching some draft film, playing some Call of Duty. I've been at the gym. I worked all day. I want to do some little bit of me time. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm a little bit different. I just like to watch things, when it pertains to football. But that's where I'm at, and I can't wait. I can't wait till the draft. It's on my birthday. It's the best time of year. I get my birthday, and I get the draft. I'm excited. Let's go. Go, Pat, go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it's just sort of one of those fan how you want to fan things. I've told people for a long time, like people that get upset about the draft or whatever, this is its own entity, and a lot of people just love it for what it is. It's so exciting. It's so much fun. It's basically like an NFL season extended. Even though there's no games going on, it's just so much fun to be able to immerse yourself in this. It's just such a lively time. You get to watch these prospects. It doesn't matter if you don't really know anything. I mean, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Like I even said, I don't know if I really have the same interest anymore because of that stupid voice in my head. But it is a fun thing. And then just, theorizing, like, what would the Packers do? And what, trade up, trade back? And I think this Aaron Rodgers thing has kind of thrown me for a loop because I don't know what picks we're going to have. We might not have 15. We might be swapping from 15 to 13. And then we get that. I don't know. And I don't know if we're getting players back. I don't, even like we just found out today, I think, that Keyshawn Nixon is starting day one in the slot. Now, I don't know if that's because Stokes is expected to be injured through week one. The last I had heard, he was expected to be back by week one. But if he's not expected to be, maybe that's what that's about. If that's not what that's about, then what the heck is going on? Because we got Stokes, we got Jair, and we got Rasul Douglas. Now, you could say maybe Rasul is playing slot, but I don't think so, because we were told yesterday that that's not where he's going to be starting. That's not his primary. His primary is the boundary. Okay. So we know Jair's not sitting, so Stokes isn't playing. And again, is that just due to injury? Or is it just putting the best guys on the field? In which case, what the heck do we keep Rasul Douglas for? Unless it's just that Stokes is garbage, but that doesn't make sense. He had a solid rookie season. He got injured all of year two. What are we doing here? So it has to be just based on injury. But again, I don't know. I don't know who's playing where, and it seems like the Packers are kind of experimenting. Keyshawn Nixon is our slot day one with Jair and Rasul, and then Stokes comes back, and then what? We don't know what we're doing at safety, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But here's the other thing, because you mentioned you got to watch these guys, and granted, some people are very, very into this. They've watched a lot of different prospects, but once we get beyond the first round, how much trash can you really talk based on film? Because here's the thing. In the first round, let's say the Packers pick Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? Everybody's watched every available piece of tape on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They've read every scouting report. They know everything there is to know about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They have their opinions pro and con, and yeah, we can all do battle back and forth. Then in the second round, let's say the Packers pick, John Michael Schmitz. How much trash can you talk about? How much do you know about John Michael Schmitz, the interior offensive lineman from Minnesota? How much tape have you watched on that guy? How many scouting reports? You know what I mean? It goes down exponentially. Then in the third round, we draft, Jervon Dexter. You know a lot about Jervon Dexter? Can you give me a scouting report? You know his height, weight, 40, long jump? You know his statistics off the top of your head? Is he a sack guy? Is he a pass rush, run defense? What's his deal? So, again, the thing is, you and I are going to know the exact same amount about Jervon Dexter by the next day. Because even if you've watched one game and have a general idea of who he is, we're both going to be watching every single thing there is about Jervon Dexter, reading everything. So we're all going to be caught up instantly. So that and again, that's part of the voice in the back of my head, like, what's the point kind of thing? Because that's just the third round. And then we're talking what? Like, we draft Tyler Steen in the fourth round. Do you even know who Tyler Steen is? You ever heard that name? He's a fourth round prospect, I think. I think we're in the fourth round now. You know anything about Tyler Steen? How about Jaden Reed? Or Olusegun Oluwatimi? You know about those guys? You know about Colby Wooden? Because as soon as we draft that guy, we're going to dig up every scouting report that there is, every single highlight reel, every single Colby Wooden verse video that you can find on YouTube. I'm going to be going into my All-22 database to see how much Colby Wooden there is. We're going to be checking out. He's a defensive tackle. I'm going to go running over to see what Sam Holman and the boys, the film boys, are doing. So I'm not saying don't do it. It's a lot of fun. But what I have noticed is the amount of time it takes to try to evenly distribute your... I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'll just not say his name. We used to work together a ton doing all this draft stuff. He's got his own, NFL draft business going on. I'm not sure how well that's doing. Hopefully very well. But I remember he used to talk about how his scouting reports that he would do that I used to subscribe to back before he was like a big wig. It's like one of those call me for pricing things. But he would do these full elaborate breakdowns. But it was usually based on, I think, three games, maybe two to three games, something like that. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, and I think that's pretty much what everybody does, because there's no way you can dedicate much more time. I mean, maybe more with some of the upper-end prospects, but if you're going to try to cover, to the degree that guys like that are, where it's not just, me in the first round going, dang, what a good pick, and then by the second round going, oh, yeah, I think that's pretty good, and then after that third round and beyond, it's like, dude, I don't know. I mean, last year was pretty solid, partially because the Packers picked a lot of big names, and, they picked Zach Tom, who I was a huge fan of, and so it was a little bit easier, but generally speaking, you get into the fourth round, fifth round, I mean, there's some names we know, but it's like 1 in 10, 1 in 20 that you can actually speak really intelligibly about, and if you're going to actually do that, you can't dedicate more than like two or three games per guy. I mean, really watching every single rep, just rewinding it, rewind every single rep, the hand placement, the down and distance, all this stuff, just to get a full, complete understanding of this specific rep, this specific play. And then you talk to somebody else who was a completely different, I remember listening to, I think it was one of the Draft Network things or something a long time ago, and the guys had very different opinions on somebody. And it was because they watched completely different games. They were like, oh, well, what games did you watch? Well, I saw Arkansas and Oklahoma. Like, oh, you didn't see the Bama game? Oh, you got to watch the Bama game, right? It changes everything. Like I've said with Jordan Love, did not like Jordan Love. Why? Because I typed in Jordan Love verse. The first thing that came up was Jordan Love versus LSU. and LSU beat him by like 700,000 points. And Jordan Love threw like 3 or 4 interceptions in that game. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, okay, that sucks. But I didn't think we'd draft him, so I didn't care. And then we did, and everybody spent the entire time, well, some people just pissed and moaned, most people did. But me and a lot of other people, we wanted to learn everything we could about Jordan Love. We watched every single game. Blaine has talked about, him and I did like a 2-hour, like we got on the computer together and we're watching film together on the guy, and just were blown away by a lot of the good stuff that he was doing. So again, it's whatever, man. I think the draft is a lot of fun. I think people enjoy it, and I think that's cool. But I also believe slash know that you have about a 24-hour head start, and not even, because, I mean, aside from first round, because you probably have heard every single rumor about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you know, all about his personality and, you know, his the injury history and every single little detail. But by the time we get into the second or third round, if I spend some time looking into it, I probably have as much or more information than you within a couple hours. Because again, give me a full and complete scouting report on Wanya Morris. What do you know about Wanya? Third, fourth round prospect. How about Rashawn Johnson? See, and there's certain ones I bet like, oh, I know that. You know what it is? It's running backs, it's tight ends, wide receivers, stuff like that. You probably know. If I say Nick Herbig, the Wisconsin Badger, a lot of people, oh, dude, I know Herbig. I'll tell you all about Herbig. Okay, how about the guy after him, edge rusher Isaiah McGuire? Maybe some people, because it's edge rusher and they've done some work. Same with Rashawn Johnson. But again, what about Riley Moss? Cornerback out of Iowa. You really looking into corners? Are you even looking into first-round corners? What could you tell me about Joey Porter? And again, after that is Wanya Morris, offensive tackle. Dude, nobody's looking at tackles. First of all, tackle tape is really hard to find, especially if you're just using YouTube. Second of all, it's kind of boring, at least for me. Sorry, no offense to Coach Hahn. But they don't, I mean, they're the ones preventing the cool stuff. They're not doing the cool stuff. And it's not even flashy when they do it like corners. You know, they're not getting the pass breakups and the interceptions. They're just standing there and not letting you get past. Which is dope, for sure. I'm just saying. Not a lot of people are doing that. KJ Henry, Kobe Turner, Jarrett Patterson. I mean, we're just in the... what is the third round? Up to 96? Again, we got running backs. Tank Bigsby, Zach Evans. Probably some people know about that. Darius Rush, the corner. Anybody? Travius Hodges-Tomlinson, the corner. How about DeMarvian Overshone? Garrett Williams. Tanner McKee. You probably should watch Tanner McKee. Talking about the Packers potentially getting a quarterback. That's what Gutekunst said in the draft. It's an option. Caillou Blue Kelly? Anything? No? So, I'm just saying. If you want to just wait and learn, you're really not going to be that far behind. Like, if you try to learn about the draft today, there's no way. Because people that are talking about the draft have been looking at the draft since before the season ended. But if you want to wait until after and then talk intelligibly about who the Packers picked, that's not a problem. There might be some conversations of we should have traded back and got so-and-so that you won't be able to participate in. But if you just want to be able to speak intelligibly about your opinions on the players we drafted, that won't take very long at all. But again, it's a fan how you want a fan thing. You do it because you love it. Great. That's awesome. You don't want to do it, but you want to learn after? No problem. Because there's going to be 700,000 scouting reports because everybody's just talking about the same old stuff over and over again. Some people trying to go more in depth. So there's going to be highlight videos, YouTube videos, breakdowns by all the ex-NFL quarterbacks and everything else. There's going to be so much information. You type that name in anywhere. Good to go. I'll have my robots cranking out a bunch of information about these guys. It'll be fun. It'll be a blast.
Hey, Ryan, Dan from California.
Hey.
I just got to say, I must be the happiest Packer fan right now because I'm in California. I don't have to listen to any other.
Hello? Hello?
On Twitter.
Yep.
So I don't really see anybody complaining there. So I'm a Jordan Love believer. Life's good. I'm okay. I think Quay could take a second-year leap.
Yeah.
I think Devontae White will have a prominent role this year.
Yeah, man.
He definitely showed flashes.
Gonna have to.
And every, you know, we have 3 years of Goody draft picks that are all solid players that just need to be coached up and be put in this culture, and we're finally getting to there. So, happiest Packer fan right now. All the negativity is not going to stop me because I don't have to hear it. Sorry, guys, who do have to hear it, but we got this. Go Petco.
Yeah, you broke up. I didn't catch the California thing there. I'm assuming you guys still have Twitter. Maybe that got banned out there. I'm not really sure. Kind of an anti-Elon thing in Cali or something. I'm not really sure what all that was about. But either way, I would assume you're somewhat happy in California. The weather's just like 70 degrees every day, kind of like Hawaii. Like, dang, dude, it's 71. It's a little chilly. Well, at least it's not hot like yesterday when it was 78. Boy, oh boy. Freaking Hawaii, man. I mean, it sucks because it's Hawaii, but dude, it's awesome because it's Hawaii. And it's kind of how I feel about California. Like, dude, it's so cool there, but it's California, so there's that. But I guess if you have a desirable place, then a lot of people want to go there. And when you have a lot of people there, then, you know, there's a lot of people there, and that's always kind of a problem. One way or another. Lots of people just means lots of problems. But yeah, man, I mean, there's I'm excited. And it really just depends on your perspective on things. Even Brian Gutekunst, I mean, I'll admit I'm on the fence with it. We have a lot. There's so many question marks. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, we know the hits. We know the misses. And I don't think the hits are disproportionately high. Maybe they are, which would be a positive for Gutekunst. And I don't think the hits are necessarily disproportionately bad either. But where these massive pile of I'm not sure yet guys fall, like if they all fall kind of like misses, then it's been pretty rough for Gutekunst. If they trend positive, especially Jordan Love, I mean, that's the biggest one if you end up finding a quarterback. But if these guys, Stokes and Jordan Love and whatnot, trend more positive, then Gutekunst looks like a really, really good drafter. But it's just hard to tell because there's so many question marks. Now, again, I like him because I like his personality. I like the way he does business. I like how he negotiates. I love what he's done in free agency. You know, I mean, when he took over, the first thing he did is started gutting the roster. And it was people that had personalities that he didn't like and that he thought poisoned the locker room that were just not contributing, and he just got rid of everybody. And then he looked dead at the coach and said, "You got 1 year. Prove to me you're the guy." And he couldn't, and he cut him. And again, cold, and maybe you could have done something a little nicer. And I know that was kind of a Murphy thing too, but it was like Murphy and Gutekunst got together and just no more of this patty cake BS. And I really think, kind of getting off the rails here, but I really think that's what Rodgers didn't like, because I think he liked that it was just kind of that way. He liked that under Mike McCarthy, like, guys really didn't get fired because they're just like part of this family. And it was a family environment. Like, Clay hadn't been a good player in like 5 years, but he's freaking Clay Matthews. And Jordy was obviously time for him to go, but he's freaking Jordy Nelson. And I'm Aaron Rodgers. And this is, you know, all these guys like Belaga and everybody else, Lindsley, which that one stung a little bit, went on to have a couple good years. Is he still tearing it up out there? I haven't checked in on him. I know Belaga fell off, but I haven't checked on Lindsley. If he's even playing, I have no idea what's going on with him. But that's the thing, you know, it's not like this coach isn't performing, you need to fire him. No, this is our guy. Like, he's just, you know. And Gutekunst and Murphy just said, no more. No more of this patty cake BS. Dude, you perform or you get out. And so players didn't perform and they left. And we got back to sort of that, you know, that mentality. Getting rid of a guy's a year too early. And just cleaned it up and then went and got guys that are culture guys and hardworking guys and young and talented and made some great deals. Again, Za'Darius, 17 million dollars a year average. And he was the number one pass rusher in football. That's psychotic. Do you know what the number one pass rusher in football goes for today? I know it was just a year or a couple years of playing really well, 1 year at the absolute top. But that's a $30 million guy right there. And then guess what? We got rid of him. And now what's he doing? Not that much. It was a rental. We rented the best pass rusher in football at a relatively cheap price. Again, the nonsense later on with the contracts being pushed out and everything means we had to pay him after he left and whatnot. But yeah, again, it just comes down to your mentality. I mean, other people look at it and say, this is the guy that has ruined everything. We had a window and if he would have done a couple different things, it would have been better and we could have got a Super Bowl. I look at it and say there wouldn't be a window without Brian Gutekunst, so it's hard to blame him for not capitalizing on the window that he created. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Again, it's really just your perspective, and I appreciate your perspective, Daniel, from California. If for no other reason, then why be miserable if you don't have to be? Because there's so many people that are just miserable, and it just I don't really understand the need for it. I mean, if you don't believe, you don't believe. If you don't believe in our GM, our coach, our quarterback, and all that, that does suck. I'll grant you that. But I think if you don't know, it's better to default on the positive side of things. But again, fan how you want to fan. Do what you want.
Hey, I just got word from an inside source of the Minnesota Vikings that they are going to be requiring every player on their entire roster to wear the number 0 to reflect the number of Super Bowls they have.
Ew. But I should look up a sound effect for that, but I don't feel like it. It's a lot of work. It's not that much work, but I'm not doing it. But I appreciate the joke, Nate. I'll tell you what, the last couple days have been so loaded with dad jokes. You want to talk about this becoming like an echo chamber? This is just a bunch of me's calling in. Just angry, ranty people that want to talk about food, drop dad jokes. These are my people, man. Again, I encourage all, please come in, Share your thoughts, feelings, emotions. Do whatever you got to do. Really want this just to be a really weird show. Like, let's just get freaking weird with it. But I will say, this show has taken a particular tone. And it is reflective of the host. There's definitely a group of my people around here. Aaron, what's going on, man? Let's get weird with it.
What's going down, Ryan?
What up? Hey,
the sun,
all right.
Obviously, because of sunset. Yeah. Anyways,
see?
Aaron here.
Dad jokes.
I'm calling to kind of, like, I guess, vent some frustration.
Sun's going down.
Media at large.
Yeah.
Because I'm all for them, like, doing their thing of trying to get clickbaity stuff, but it's just like, don't portray the Packers coaching staff and front offices as if they are complete bumbling idiots that have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? That is the only time I'll speak up and say, nah, bro, that ain't how it is. Because do you really think that they haven't had this transition to Jordan Love kind of in a way for the most part planned for a few years?
Yeah.
They knew that Aaron Rodgers was coming to an end. Anyways, so today Matt LaFleur took the podium and basically said that Aaron Rodgers is a generational talent. There's only ever kind of, you don't really say there's only ever been one Aaron Rodgers, but
more or less.
Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. He's a generational talent.
Yep.
And even it took him time to get to the point where he was that generational talent, where he was Hall of Famer. But anyway, so Matt LaFleur is saying that you got to give Jordan Love time.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take. No quarterback jumped in and was a Hall of Famer their first season. Anyways, but the media, especially just like ESPN at large, is trying to paint it like Matt LaFleur said that Jordan Love's never going to be that good. He's never done anything and he will never do anything.
Jeez.
We had a generational talent and now we don't. And it's just like, no, that's not what they're saying. They said give him time because you can't expect him to be this great quarterback immediately. It's his first season as a starter. Like, I bought my Love jersey today, and if I know anything about my Love, that means that Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. But anyways,
thanks a lot.
Jordan Love is our QB1. They wouldn't have done this whole transition if they didn't have faith in them. So trying to spin a quote from Matt LaFleur out of context, as if try to say that Jordan Love is going to suck, is absolutely preposterous.
Yeah.
Like, media needs to chill. I mean, I need to chill right now as I'm sitting.
No, you're good, man. Let it out.
It's just like, don't take what he has to say out of context, or at least show the entire interview as you do with every other coach who speaks.
No.
This is the one time I've seen them not post like a coach's interview, and it's just crazy. Just post the answer, the video of the answer, not just some spun out of context quote that you.
Part two, here we go.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey,
got cut off.
You're good.
This is the first time I ever got cut off.
Love it.
I tend to ramble, but not for a long time, as I'm doing right now. Anyways, so basically what I was saying is that, like, normally on Instagram, they post, like, one slide where it's just, like, words on the quote, but then they show the entire video. Like, they show a video of the answer that the coach gave on the next slide, and that's what they usually do, but they didn't do that this time. They just tried to spin it to say that Matt LaFleur said that Jordan Love is going to suck, but that is not even close to what he said, and they took it completely out of context. Anyways, pizza.
Yes.
Topic of conversation.
All right. Very excited about pizza. Let me address what you said. I haven't dug in, but I'm telling you right now, I am chomping at the bit so bad. I haven't checked YouTube in a while. Because it's like, I got to get through. There's additional Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur interviews. There's a ton of articles. Like, I love when this stuff happens because everything explodes. We were just getting to the point where it's like, dude, there's nothing to talk about. Like, everything's kind of dried up. And then a couple comments happen, and it's like, I can't keep up. Because, yeah, it's not just going through. Like, if I would have gone through the entire Matt LaFleur interview, it would have been the whole show. I wasn't even halfway through it. So I had to cut it off and say, this is the gist of it. Then go to Gutekunst. And then I had to cut Gutekunst off. So we got a half a Matt LaFleur interview, a half a Gutekunst interview. Then The Rock, not the giant buff black guy, but the old white guy with the broken pinky. He did an interview. Is it The Rock or do they just call him Rock? Probably should just call him Rock because it gets confusing. But he did interviews with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst that we got to go through. But then there's also, yeah, all this stuff is going to be ESPN. And then there's Jets fans who are doing all kinds of stuff. So it's like, oh, I got it. And then, like, there's, like, this draft stuff, and I got a really good idea of, like, should I do that? And it's like, no, dude, let's save that because you're going to need that later, but I really want to do that. So, yeah, man, there's a lot going on. I haven't heard all that nonsense, but, I mean, listen, you don't have to explain anything to me. You listen to the show, you know that I'm the exact same way. And that's part of the reason why it's cool that I have this. Like, if Aaron, if you wanted to start a podcast, I would encourage you to do it. Anybody listening, just go do it. It doesn't have to blow up. It doesn't have to be anything. I did this for like 2 or 3 years before I ever got a cent. I think I did it for 3 years, never got a cent for it. Wasn't a massive show, but kind of was doing a decent chunk or whatever. It didn't matter. It was just, I just had a lot to say all the time about the Packers, so much so that I could fill all this time with Packer stuff. But it's cool to have this because for people that are like, I don't really have stuff to talk about every day, but when I do, I really want to say it and I want to just blast it out there. Boom, call the number and there you go. So again, I'm with you on that stuff, and I can't wait to dig in and find out what idiotic nonsense is out there so I can tear it apart. But again, if you see it and it's got you all tore up, call in. By the way, as a suggestion, if you wouldn't mind, send me the clips that you're talking about. That would help me out a ton so that I can do it. You can actually just text it to me if you want. If you're watching it like on your phone, copy the link, text it to this number because I'll get that and then call in, bing, bomb, boom, or you can do Twitter or whatever you want just so I don't have to personally dig it up. But it's fine. I'll find it. All right, let's talk pizza.
So I remember a while back there was a dude that said that you're welcome to go have brisket at his house anytime up in Alaska.
Yeah, dude.
And I think that's a great idea. You should totally do that because Alaska is absolutely incredible. But in addition to going to the dude's house for brisket, I can't remember who it is.
Steve in Alaska.
You might, but you probably don't, or maybe you do.
I had to look it up. We're fine. It's good.
You're better than all of us. Anyways, so while you're up in Alaska eating the dude's brisket,
yeah,
you should also stop at a place called Moose's Tooth. It is the best pizza I have ever had in my life.
Really?
It's
Moose's? Moose's what?
I can't even describe it, but it's just, for me, Moose's Tooth.
Moose's Tooth.
I don't know. I can't remember if it's Anchorage or not, but they are so worth it. They're so worth a trip up there in itself. Every time I go up there, I always have to stop and get it. So go have the guy's brisket and Moose's Tooth pizza.
It is an Anchorage.
Hopefully someone else can back that up at some point because it is thebomb.org. Anyways, have fun going to Alaska or not, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Just go live your life and keep being a Packer fan, and thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Dude, so I'm looking at pictures of it. It looks really good. I mean, it's very different. You know, it's not quite like New York style pizza, but it's got like that crisp. Like I can almost taste it. That crust. It's like I've had it somewhere, and I can't really describe it. But that looks really good, man. I'm not gonna lie. I wonder if Pizza Guy has reviewed this. I wonder if he's ever been out to Alaska to review pizza. Probably not. I wonder if Steve in Alaska. You ever been out to Anchorage for Moose's Tooth pizza? You can tell they got a lot of real like interesting styles. Like this looks like an Asian kind of thing over here, and then it's half, I don't know, there's like carrot shavings. Most of them I would never eat, but I would probably just, ooh, here's a meat thing, meat lovers, whatever. That's what I'm talking about right there. Ham, some what do we got, pepperonis and some other kind of meat there, and then the ground beef. I don't know, looks pretty good. And what is this dessert here? That looks crazy. I don't know what that is. That like an ice cream cake? I don't know. Looks good, man. I will check that out when I do my tour. So where do I have to go so far? I know somebody offered me a steak one time, a listener somewhere in Janesville I was very excited about, and then lost contact with them. So that's sad. I got to go to Alaska. I've got two offers out in New York. Well, actually, Jersey Mike I don't think has ever invited me, but I would invite myself. But then I talked to the Jets guy out there in New York, and he invited me out for pizza. So New York and Alaska. Where else was I going to go? I don't know. Maybe that's it. I'm down, though. Sounds like fun. One of these years, before I'm dead, depending on, you know, how long it is before I'm dead, might not be that long. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Speaking of traveling the world, what's up, Trucker Bob?
Hey, Ryan, this is Trucker Bob.
Yes, sir.
I'm out, back out in my truck after being home for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Stayed home because my son came home from China after 15 years.
Obviously.
My two grandchildren again.
Yeah.
I did my taxes, which was 13 pages.
Sheesh.
Then my wife and I were sick, so we stayed in bed for an extra week.
Oh, no.
Anyways, we were on the road. We went from Atlanta to California.
Love it.
We dropped off there, and now we're heading back to Pennsylvania.
Okay. Don't drink the water.
I don't want to talk about Rogers and that insane contract he has, but I do want to talk about Randall Cobb.
Okay.
We lost Cobb. We let Cobb go several years ago, mainly because of injury concerns every year. Rogers insisted we bring him back, and we did, only to see he gets injured every year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I love Randall Cobb, but did he not take a slot that could have been used to develop a receiver?
Yes.
Who would now be going into his third year and be heading into his prime years as a wide receiver? I just thought this question needs to be asked and discussed. Anyway, what are your thoughts? Trucker Bob is out.
Yeah, I know nobody wants to hear me talk about Amari Rodgers because everybody can't stand the guy. I really wish he had been given a proper opportunity. I really do. I understand the measurables were not great, and he probably won't do anything. I think he got his first touchdown within like a week of going to the Texans. It just is a little bit frustrating that he never really was given a fair shake and then was stuck on special teams, which was never his thing. And again, I felt bad for Amari because they kept forcing him to do a job that he just was not cut out to do. And every Packer fan completely hated the guy because of how bad he was on special teams. And he was horrible on special teams, but they kept putting him out there, which is unfair to him. But they couldn't put him in the slot because that was Amari's job. That was Randall Cobb's job. And listen, forget Amari. It also prevents you from drafting somebody, right? And this is kind of the point I brought up, and maybe it's completely unfair, but you know, you look at Rodgers and how he wants Mercedes Lewis and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb to go with him to the Jets, and I don't know how badly he wants that. Who knows? Maybe he's hoping they don't show up. Like, you know, I love those guys, but you know, we got Garrett and some boys over here I'd like to play with. But you just wonder, you know, I mean, what happens if you draft somebody and it's like, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously has a lot of say and a lot of control, and he's like, no, I don't want to work with this guy. I don't care if he was a first round pick. We got Lazard, we got, you know, at the time Devontae. So who, according to Rodgers, is going to be taking whose spot? You're going to draft a guy in the first round just so that you can bench MVS, and then he goes out and drops a pass and Rodgers throws a fit, like, get this freaking idiot off my team. I'm not saying for sure that would have happened, but we just know his preference. It has less to do with these young, talented speed guys and more to do with what you have between the ears. You know, your ability to understand the plays, your ability to do, and my guys know that, and I'm comfortable with my guys. So I do think that that's a hindrance, especially when one of your guys is taking one of these spots that we would like to fill. But again, why expend the draft capital if he's never going to overtake Randall Cobb? That's never going to happen. So, I think with a lot of things now, there just isn't that veto power from Rodgers. There's more control from the GM and from the coach. And it's power that I wish nobody had, but it's just one of those things that happens. Every megastar quarterback that I can think of has that level of power. Maybe Drew Brees didn't, I don't know, but I think that was more of a whatever. Tom Brady didn't really, but until he went to Tampa, and then it was just he ran the whole team. But you get up that high, you start to have a lot of say in how things should be done, and so you have to take that into account, that ultimately he's going to have a lot of say in how this stuff goes, and you don't want to expend picks in areas that he's not going to be fond of, which is contrary to what everybody else thinks, because everybody else is thinking Rodgers is just dying for that young stud receiver. And maybe he is. I don't know. But again, it's just one of those conflicts where it's like, it seems like he really wants that. But at the same time, he clearly cannot stand young guys that don't know what they're doing and would prefer guys that do. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how to reconcile all that. But to specifically answer your question, yeah, I think it was a hindrance. It's a hindrance to teaching guys, which even in this past year, you can talk about, for example, Samori Toure. Maybe he could have had more opportunities. I don't know. Somebody. And I love Randall, and I'm glad he had an opportunity to come back, and it's too bad he didn't come back and go on to win a Super Bowl. It would have been just a fairy tale kind of a story. I kind of bought into that when he came back a little bit, even though it was kind of a roll your eyes thing. It was also kind of, you know, our team was rolling, man. We were looking good. Maybe this is the year, and Randall could be that guy that kind of fills that gap. You know, when Rodgers is, the play's breaking down, and there's kind of that, you know, those guys have a mind meld. Maybe he can kind of do that and get open in the red zone like he used to do, but it just didn't really materialize. Randall's up there in my mind of all-time Packers. I really appreciate Randall Cobb. He's in a way kind of like a Donald Driver. I don't know if he's quite on that level of a Donald Driver, but just a good dude, good person, did some great things for our team and for our franchise, some great memories of Randall Cobb being just a dominant receiver and a dominant return man. And, you know, he's also one of those guys that's going to put in the work. You know, I always appreciated that too. He was a worker. But again, this is not a emotional business. This is not about, you know, what he's owed because of what he's done and because of how good of a person he is. This isn't a freaking charity. It was a bad decision to bring him back, period. And as you pointed out, it's not just because, you know, things didn't quite pan out. It's also because it prevented us from finding somebody that maybe would be a better fit in that spot. So anyways, why don't we go ahead and leave it at that? By the way, we're finally getting caught up. I right now only have 5 calls. That is not enough for another episode. So please get your calls in. I know it seems like we've been behind. There's a lot of stuff going on. Get out there. Listen, learn, read, get angry, call in. Also, I have a graphic. It's up on Twitter. If you want it, I can send it to you. Share it around. I need to go blast it all over Facebook. I might try to slip it into Twitter, but I'm sure, or Reddit, but I'm sure I'm just going to get freaking assaulted for that. Those guys just look for reasons to hate you. Every time I've ever tried to post anything, like, you're a spammer, yeah, you suck, blah, blah. Ban my account forever. Self-promotion, Satan! Freaking, okay, dude. Sorry about that. But if you're in good standing on Reddit and people actually like you and you can post stuff without getting banned, maybe share it. Share the graphic. Just be like, hey, why don't you call into the show? I should do that for like every subreddit. I should go into the Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, the Packers, the Jets, at least, and be like, I want to hear from you peoples. Again, I probably can't. I'll get banned, but post it around on Facebook or something. I don't know. You don't even need the graphic if you want to just type it in, but let's get some different voices in here, man. Let's get some Bears fans talking trash. Let's get some Jets fans in here. You know what I mean? Get up in my business.